From the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
The bass season is just 2 weeks away, and anyone who occasionally uses live bait knows what leeches are. A Niagara Falls man, whose name I will likely butcher, was recently busted by Canadian Customs when he was nabbed returning from Russia via Pierce International with his carry-on bag loaded down with a large number of live leeches. And they were no ordinary leeches, not a chance. No, instead of being bait shop leeches, they were medicinal leeches harvested in the wilds of Russia and considered internationally to be an endangered species. I'll try to pronounce his name. Hippolyte Boudouou. Anyhow, he pleaded guilty to, bear with me, violating the wild animal and plant protection and regulation of the International and Interprovincial Trade Act. If it sounds like a big deal, it's because it is. Comrade was fined $15,000. He had broken a treaty that was signed by more than 180 countries and whose medicinal leeches come in handy when blood flow is needed to be created to help salvage skin grafts. Bloodletting and infection control are other benefits to the leeches that the guy tried to smuggle into Canada. Illegal trade in wildlife, and that obviously includes medicinal leeches, is apparently a $20 billion annual business. The Canadian Customs haul was 240 of those leeches. Each one of them cost our man $62.50. And here you thought the leeches at your local bait shop are getting kind of expensive. By comparison, they're as cheap as borscht. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo. At your service, at your beck and call, as it were. On the line with us, you can tell from that little jingle, it's time to play it safe with our in-house safety expert, Bradley Schlorf. Good morning, Bradley.
Okay, so the only place that there should be elevated mercury levels is from all the winners of those 9.9s.
No kidding. Good. Well put. How long did you have to work on that one, buddy?
Well, I got some time while I'm listening to Mark to dream these things up. Same as that consumption book. You know, I didn't know that they were gone. Used to go to a liquor store every couple of years and pick up a new one. And maybe that'll be gone, too. Who knows? But the other thing they were good for, in addition to how much you could eat, was a pretty good source of information on what species and how big the fish were in a lot of lakes.
It was a great book. I loved it. I mean, I did not consume a lot of fish from the Great Lakes and its tributaries, although the tributaries were generally not affected as much. But I liked just going through it. It was, like you just said, it had all kinds of great information. But anyways, it's gone
and
by the wayside.
And at the shopping mart, the liquor store.
Yeah, maybe. So, Brad, interesting thing happened to me on the way to my fishing trip a few weeks ago. I realized I did not need a fishing license anymore. How great was that?
When did they move it down to 35?
Thank you. See, I love you, man. That's why I love you right there. No, but my question to you was the pleasure boat operator's card, does that fall into that same category that at 65 you don't need it?
No, you need it forever.
Oh, okay.
So don't throw it away when you pitch your outdoors card.
No, I'm even contemplating, to be honest with you, I'm contemplating buying a fishing license. Just, I don't know why. Habit, I guess.
The money goes to the special purpose account that sort of goes to all good things in the nature.
That's right. All right, so talk to me about this pleasure boater's card. First of all, have you guys, do you have any, I don't know, research that it has actually made boating safer since we introduced this this card?
Well, generally speaking, the numbers of boating fatalities in Canada have been going down for quite some time. And to attribute all of that or any of that or a smidgen of it or not a little wee bit of it to the pleasure craft operator card would be a bit of a factual stretch. Like, I don't know how I could tie the two things together. Every little bit has to help, though. So considering that a lot of the people, and I sure don't want to say all of them, but a lot of them took a course in order to get the card. And there were more people taking courses when the card came out than ever had been before. And you know, the long-established providers like Canadian Power and Sail Squadrons, they showed, and they do really good job. Not to just plug them, but they're very honest in how they did it, and they actually delivered courses. So, you know, they saw an increase in people taking courses. So when you look at those established places, and not that the new ones aren't good either, but they have a history that they could say there are more people being educated, therefore things have to be a little bit safer.
You know, it's funny. Eh? We don't even think about somebody getting into a boat that's never operated a boat before and just heading out, you know, to the lake. And yet, you know, obviously for vehicles, for road safety, you wouldn't, well, first of all, it's totally illegal and you would never dream of it. But now that water crafts need an operator that has a card, so it makes it illegal as well. What do you guys do when you find somebody out there? What does the OPP do? I'm sure you guys, first of all, are checking for cards. And what do you do if somebody doesn't have one?
Well, virtually every powerboat checked, the officers, not just the OPP, but across the country. So, you know, RCMP officers, municipal police officers assigned to boating, they will be asking for a pleasure craft operator card or other proof of competency. So as soon as the failure to provide that or not having one turns up, then they go back to police officer 101. That's where they exercise their discretion. They decide if the person needs a ticket, and they can get a ticket, or if they need a warning, or what needs to be done in that case. So it becomes not any different than if you don't have your driver's license with you, or you didn't have your outdoors card with you. It's the officer's discretion. But invariably, they'll be asking for that card or proof of competency.
Yeah, and anybody that doesn't have one is a fool, because first of all, as you just mentioned, you know, it if you get it at the right place, there's an awful lot of great information that you will garner from applying for and receiving this card. And secondly, now, like you just said, you know, it could lead to further problems with the OPP or any other law agency out there that's checking. So don't do it. Get a card.
I don't know, like maybe when one of the insurance experts on, I'd be willing to bet that if you chose not to get or have a pleasure craft operator's card and something happens, that may increase your liability a fair bit.
Oh, I think it does. I think totally off topic, but this just happened to me recently. I was at a... Yeah, yeah.
You were on the phone one, and you were...
No.
That's a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
I was at a cottage. A cottager's a friend of mine has a cottage. I was there, and I couldn't help but notice, you know, he's got an old beat-up tin boat that's sitting at the dock. And I looked, was looking through it. I was looking through his fishing tackle, actually. But I couldn't help but notice he had a couple of old raggedy, those old life jackets, those big, thick.
Oh my God,
with the cords, with the big cords, sitting in the bottom of the boat. One of them was completely torn. Looked like his dog had gotten at it. Let's put it that way.
Oh, maybe he uses it just for a nice, comfy place for the dog to put his butt.
What is legal and not legal in PFDs?
That is not legal. So the PFD has to be in serviceable condition, has to fit the people. So when it's a, you know, an old white Kapok one that's been laying in the bottom of that 12-foot tinny since 1963, it doesn't count. It's got to be approved. You got to be able to read the approval label. So that one's likely not made to grade.
I don't even think it had a label. To be honest with you, I kind of looked to see if I could see a year of manufacturing on it, because I was going to give them hell, right? But I couldn't even find a label on it.
It doesn't count as one of the PFDs for people that are in the boat. But, you know, it's a great place to put your anchor on.
Don't make fun of it. It's terrible.
I am making fun of it. Surely your friend is not that dumb. That's what he considers to be. Because your friends are all pretty much in the genius level.
I would not count on it. Listen, this one, maybe not. Not so much. Anyways, make sure that you've got a current PFD if you are a boater. Don't rely on something that your grandfather handed down to you. That's for sure. What's happening this weekend, my friend?
Well, this weekend's going to be an interesting affair. So it's, you know, the follow-up to the big fishing trip. We got to get together and debrief and figure out what equipment we needed, what fluids and all that sort of stuff's got to be ready for next year.
Perfect. We look forward to speaking to you about that and many more things. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Talk to you later.
Brad Schlor, former OPP staff sergeant and now our in-house safety expert, playing it safe.